Let's go to our segment for today. Dr. Arne Buss received an undergraduate degree in psychology at Rutgers University and a PhD from Cornell University. Now, he's been teaching at the undergraduate and graduate level for over 30 years. His passion is facilitating and teaching classes about interpersonal communications, and he's worked with individuals and couples to resolve their interpersonal communication issues. And in the past 8 years, he's given presentations on interpersonal communications and skills to a number of organizations in Monterey and San Francisco and down the King City area, all over the place. It's part of his passion. It's part of his love. And whenever there's an opportunity, he's right there to share it. Now, Dr. Buss joins us on the second Monday of each month with his segment, Speaking of Listening. And to get him introduced to us, let's have a little opening music.
Listen to the song here in my heart, a melody I start but can't complete. Listen to the sound from deep within.
And welcome to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar. As he said, I'm your host for Speaking of Listening, Arne Buss. Speaking of Listening is about ways of improving all your relationships by listening from your aware heart. And I love the lyrics of that introductory song, and it says to listen deeply, both within ourselves and within others. And I also really appreciate the comments that Solazar had before this about not just kind of pretending everything is okay, but being real about it. And sometimes the feedback I get from how I propose beginning by listening, especially in difficult circumstances, is that it does that. And nothing could be farther from the truth. It's a question of what the order is. And I'll talk about that today because I want to talk about one of the most requested topics, which has to do with how we respond to criticism, with how we respond to words that that seem to come at us and they seem to pierce us, and they give the impression that the other person is unhappy with us, or they're putting us down, or whatever it might be. The thing to remember is that the only place of responsiveness is from our aware heart. So we don't have to have how we respond be dictated by the other person. If they're coming at us, we don't have to go at them. In fact, I am convinced that all criticism does come from a place of some kind of pain, some kind of hurt in the other person. And because for whatever reason they're not able to process it effectively, they're not able to keep themselves okay with it, they often project it out onto others. And it's something that we all do from time to time. Think about a time when you were angry with someone else, or you maybe said some things to them that you later regretted. And if you listen deeply to yourself, you will identify the fact that underneath all of that, there's likely a place of pain, a place of hurt. And that is so important, because that makes the difference between whether we react or we respond. If we come at the other person from that place of hurt, then we're reacting. If we come from a place where we're okay, and then the other person, and we see the other person as being okay, regardless of what is being said or done, then that's responding. And it's not papering over anything. It's not being a Pollyanna or looking through rose-colored glasses. It's really what I think is an essential, fundamental, spiritual law, which is that we're all children of the universe, and each one of us has unconditional regard, unconditional worth, regardless of anything else, that there is still some core of ourselves that is okay no matter what. And that's true of everyone, even politicians that you may dislike. Remember that they too are children of God. Now, if you agree with the idea that all criticism does come from a place of hurt, and if you don't, that's okay too. But what I ask you to do is just try it on. You know, try thinking of, instead of, oh, that person is a bad person for saying this. What I suggest, just try this on for size. Hear the pain and don't take the blame. Validate their feelings, validate their pain, but don't make yourself wrong. And I want to talk today about how to do that, how to respond to criticism. And what I have found is that this tracking that I talk about, sometimes people say I rant about, is such a valuable thing, because it's one of the... it's pretty much the only approach that I have found that will sometimes literally stop the other person in their tracks, but without pushing back at them. Often you hear things like, you know, well, you know, walk away, or say, no, you can't talk to me that way. And it's not that there's anything wrong with that necessarily. But what I've found is that the more you push back on someone, especially someone who has a lot of energy, and especially negative energy, if you push back, no, you can't talk to me that way, or, you know, I'm not okay with that, that just kind of fuels the fire. On the other hand, if you respond through validation, through validating what their feelings are, which isn't agreeing with the criticism, but it's validating where they're at, then people are surprised by that. And it's hard to stay... I would say not only hard, it is impossible. I'll state it even more extremely. It is impossible to stay in that high energy place when the other person is validating you. That is so amazing. And don't take my word for it. Test it. Try it out yourself. Now, unless you're living in a cave somewhere and never interact with anybody, if you're in any kind of relationship, whether, you know, friendship, a relationship at work, with a colleague, with a boss, with a subordinate, just the acquaintances, friends, intimate relationships. If you're in a relationship of any kind, then at some point, the chances are you're going to hear some criticism. That's just... seems to be the nature of people. Until we become 100% enlightened masters, we sometimes get not okay with someone else, and then we'll come at them. And I certainly confess to being that myself, because here's a newsflash: I am not an enlightened master, at least not yet. But regardless of whether that even matters to you or not, the fact is that you can apply this to any situation in which things seem kind of uncomfortable. So, you know, some of the things that you might hear, you know, have heard things like, oh, you're such a slob, you know, or you never do what I ask you to, or, you know, how could you do that? One of my favorites, you never listen to me. You should be sorry. You never listen to me. It's just what I love about that is you could almost script the way this typically goes. Many times the person saying that is, say, the a woman in a heterosexual relationship, but people say it, you know, all the time. And they say it because they feel frustrated. And what's interesting about that is the way that goes can almost always be scripted. So they say, you never listen to me, or you're not listening to me. And the other person says, I am too listening to you. That's the typical response. And then, of course, the original person says, well, then what did I just say? And then if you weren't listening, you say, well, you're right. I'd like to hear that again. Or chances are you were hearing the words, and you can repeat back pretty much verbatim what that person just said. Now here's the interesting thing. From a logical standpoint, from a purely rational, unemotional standpoint, the way that went, again, you're not listening to me, I was too, then what did I say? And then you tell them exactly what they just said, then that should assuage them. They should say, oh, I guess you were listening to me. And the statement, oh, I guess you were listening to me, has never been uttered in that scenario, to my knowledge. It has never been said. They're never happy. Why? Because they were picking up on something that really had nothing to do with whether you heard the words or not. They were probably, if you have heard this, then the chances are that you were not fully engaged and focused on what the other person was saying, and they picked up on that. Now, why does this happen? Well, you know, sometimes we get distracted, and that's, you know, that's just sort of the nature. Many times, especially in a problematic area, instead of really listening with 100% focus on what the other person is saying, we're formulating our response to them. They say, okay, well, they said this. Well, as soon as they finish talking, then I'm going to hit them with this. You know, just kind of go inside yourself and ask yourself honestly, have you ever done that? I confess to having done that. And then getting defensive when I'm called out on it. And the thing is that repeating back verbatim what the words the other person said, I mean, in a way, it seems like a paradox because it shows that you were listening. The problem is you weren't really listening. See, there's a difference between hearing and listening. Remember the old Simon Garfunkel song, Sounds of Silence, when they said people hearing without listening. See, hearing is getting the words. Listening is getting the feelings under the words and getting the hidden coded message under the words. And if you're not doing that, then the chances are the other person is going to be picking up on that. And if it's a problem area, again, like you're probably either formulating a response or trying to think of a way to just sort of make it stop. And the when you're having a difficult conversation, you can't just make it stop. Or, well, you can try. You can walk away. And I know that many marriage counselors talk about, well, if things are really getting heated, take a break. You know, call a timeout, which never works. Here's why it never works. The reason why it never works, calling a timeout, is that there's one person is typically agitated and they're trying to, you know, and they're hurt and there's something they're trying to communicate to the other person. Now, the other person is probably feeling, you know, maybe they're feeling defensive, maybe they're feeling unfairly criticized, you know, or maybe some mixture of them. But whatever they, you know, oftentimes one of the people in that difficult conversation will reach a point where they get overwhelmed, they're flooded with emotion, they just want it to stop. And so they say, time out, let's call a timeout. Now the other person is now left with all of these unexpressed feelings and there's nothing to push against. So they often, you know, typical thing is the person says, time out, you know, call a timeout and walk out to the other room. Many times the other person who doesn't want the timeout will kind of chase after him and say, no, no, you can't do that. That's not fair. So timeouts don't really work because they, and by the way, if I'm speaking of my experience, you know, if timeouts work for you, then great, more power to you. But here's the thing, is that a much more effective way of dealing with it is to track and to validate. And here's the thing, is that it can be a difficult, a tightrope to walk, because ways that we react, you know, we react by absorbing the criticism, by kind of, you know, shrinking down, you know, oh, yeah, you're right, I'm terrible. And if you remember, that's coming from the child or victim place. So it's making yourself wrong. And even if somebody is criticizing you and trying to make you wrong, they can't make you wrong unless you buy into it. I love that Eleanor Roosevelt quote, where she said that there are no victims, only volunteers. So I'm not advocating being irresponsible or not taking responsibility for your actions or your words, of course, but that's not the same as making yourself wrong, as being a bad person. The other way is that sometimes we react by counterattacking. That's coming from the parent or the judge, you know. So, you think I'm bad about this? Why don't you look in a mirror and you'll see someone who's bad? So that's the parent judge, you know. You think I don't listen? You're the one who doesn't listen, you know. I'm not the puppet. You're the puppet. Remember, the aware heart is a place where not only we are okay, but the other person is okay. And again, that doesn't mean that doesn't give us license to, you know, to say abusive things or to say hurtful things or do hurtful things. In fact, many times our defensiveness comes from the fact that there's a lot of truth. There's at least a grain of truth in the criticism that's coming at us. So it can be very challenging to stay in your aware heart if that criticism does have a grain of truth. And especially the people closest to us, they have their finger all over our buttons and they just know the ones to push, you know. So if you have someone who's pushing your buttons, then the answer to that is not to have the other person not push your buttons. The answer to that, the solution, is to not have these buttons be such a trigger. Realize that if your buttons get triggered, that this is your wounded child. This is a part of you that is still not okay, that maybe has not completely healed from the wounds that you absorbed when you were growing up. And the fact is that no matter how loving our parents are, no matter how wonderful they were, it's pretty much impossible to make it to adulthood without some kind of wounding. So if you're an adult, that means that there is some wound in there somewhere. And if there isn't, I mean, fabulous, more power to you. And one way to know whether there is that if you hear criticism and you react, then that's evidence that there's a wound that hasn't been healed. And of course, this is always easy to see it in others. What's discouraging sometimes is that we see even in some of our leaders this wounding writ large. I mean, this inability to withstand any kind of criticism or any kind of negative statements, you know, and if there's an inability for that, and if there's this almost narcissistic desire to have sycophants always praise you and say how great you are, and you're always saying how great you are, then that's an indication of some really deep unhealed wounds. And that doesn't mean that the person themselves is necessarily a bad person. It generally means that you don't want to put him in charge of anything that might hurt someone else. Just as you wouldn't let a toddler operate heavy machinery or drive a car or play with a loaded gun. It's not generally wise to have people in positions of power who are still reacting from their wounding. But back to responding to criticism. And here's the idea is that you validate the hidden message. And the thing is that what it requires that focus that if you're not listening to me picked up on was lacking. So it means that you're not just hearing the words and thinking of something else. I mean, it's almost like a meditation, like a mindful meditation where you're bringing yourself completely into the present, and the present consists of hearing the totality of what message the other person is saying. Now, you can pay attention to the energy, because that makes a big difference. So if there's very low energy, then that's often coming from deep pain or sadness. Whereas high energy, it comes from anger or rage. Again, like deep, deep down, it's all pain. But high energy is, you know, when they're, you know, how could you do this to me? Or versus, you know, oh, how could you do this to me? In between, low to medium energy is more like annoyance or anxiety. You know, just kind of focus, like next time you're in a conversation, observe the energy. Just kind of observe whether it's positive or negative. You know, if they're excited about something, then you know the voices raise and the pitch increases and the speed increases. But if it's kind of low energy, that says I didn't sleep too well last night or you know whatever. So for example, let's go back to, you never listen to me. There it is with low energy. Okay, so what are they saying? You know, well, they're feeling sad about it, or you never listen to me, or you never listen to me. You see how the message in each three of those things is a little bit different. And the thing is to respond in about the same level of energy, but just a little bit lower, although in the case of the lowest energy, maybe just a little bit higher. And, okay, so now decode the message. And when you hear criticism, it's often valuable to just go right to what they want, because hidden in the criticism, in fact, not even hidden that well, is what they want. So you never listen to me. What do they want? They want to be heard. So you might say, you know, so there's something that you want to be understood and you feel it hasn't happened yet, or you feel it hasn't been understood yet. If you've never tried that, give that a try next time. Or you just don't understand. You say, so there's something that is important to you and you feel it hasn't been understood yet and you want it to be. Or here's one, you know, you always criticize me. One clue to the hidden message are these operative words like always and never. Now here's the mistake you get into if you come at this from a purely rational, logical place. From a logical place, always and never are always not true, or they're never true. In other words, when you say you always criticize me, that is true only if every word out of your mouth towards this other person is a criticism. And if that's the case, I mean, how did you ever get into a relationship if every word that you ever spoken to them was a criticism? So you always criticize me. I mean, that's on the face of it, if you come completely with a Spock-like rational mind, that's a false statement. What do you mean? I don't always criticize you. Well, that gets you into an area which is not beneficial to the relationship. It's not beneficial to the relationship because it misses the point. You're being a literalist when, in fact, what's being expressed often when these always or never words are used is that it's emphasis. It's coming from a place of, I don't think you really get this, so I need to floor this, I need to bring this to the max. And bring it to the max is always or never. So it's not literally true. It's never literally true. But what it means is that it happens too frequently. So you always criticize me doesn't mean that you always criticize me. It means that I'm feeling criticized just much more of the time than feels comfortable. And realizing that, if you give that to them to show that you get that, that you get the message beneath that, instead of quibbling about whether it's literally true or not, then that can lead the way to a resolution. So when you always so a lot of the time you feel criticized. Or you're feeling criticized too much of the time, and you want to be assured that you won't be that won't happen. See, matching the speaker's energy is really important, and I've spoken of this before, but it deserves a recap. Have you ever been really, really upset with somebody, and you know? And they respond the way many communications people recommend. It says, now, if the other person's upset, you respond calmly. So you're up here like this, and they're going, And I have yet to figure out why anybody says this, because this never works. If one person is really upset and their energy is really high, then... and the other person responds calmly, then the message that they're getting, the message the upset person is getting, is that the other person doesn't get it. They don't get the upset. See, it's these feelings and that are the key to what the message really is. And if you respond calmly to somebody whose energy is up high, then it just gets higher. And that, if you've been either on the receiving end or the sending end of that, you just think about it, and you'll see that what I'm saying is true. That responding calmly to high energy typically makes the high energy go higher. Now, that isn't to say that you should become uncalm. It's one thing to be calm. It's another thing to respond calmly. So what I'm suggesting is to, yes, be calm. Don't take it personally. Don't get reactive. So inside, be calm. But when you respond, respond with an energy that almost matches theirs. If their energy is high, then come in at just below theirs, not way down here as a calm psychotherapist or something. But, you know, so this is really bothering you. You want to make sure this gets fixed, something like that. If it's medium, then, you know, don't go above theirs. You know, if it's medium, come in about theirs. And with really low energy, I feel if you should come in just above theirs. If they're coming in with low energy, then you want to you don't want to come in with high energy or even medium energy. You want to come in with low energy. But if you come in with an energy that's just a tad above theirs, then that can help lift their energy up. Remember, the object is to decode their message and understand what it is that they're trying to say to you. And what their message is and what they're saying is almost never in the words themselves. Some magic words that I've found for low to medium energy is the two magic words, so you. And see, you know, just start with those two and see what comes after. See if you can come up with something after. And if it's high energy, a third word is added, and that's want. So you want. You want to be assured. You want this to never happen again. So you want to you want to have something understood, and you, that hasn't happened yet. Now, if you don't know what they're talking about, and sometimes that's the case, then you want to convey that you do want to understand. certainly, you don't say, "Well, I don't get that. That doesn't make any sense." Some phrases that I've found to be helpful is, you know, maybe you could express what, you know, what's been happening that is not okay. Or you could even say something like, I'd like to understand what the problem is. And since I don't understand that yet, I'd like to have it clarified. Again, you want to convey that you really want to hear what it is, not that you just want to blow them off. Now, I can hear through the radio and the internet that if you're listening to this, you probably have a number of yabbats. And that's okay. When I first heard that, I had them myself. I mean, you might be thinking, this could never work, or I could never say that, or, you know, well, what about boundaries? You know, boundaries are important. When I read about boundaries, say, you can't talk, you know, I'm not okay talking, being talked to that way. You can't talk to me that way. I'm just going to leave. You might be, you know, why should I accept being treated badly? And the thing is, you should not. There is no reason why you have to be treated badly. The question is, what route will take you to that place where you can set a boundary, set a limit? By validating first, you open up the channel of communication so the other person can hear you. If you try to set a limit or a boundary while the other person is still upset, then that almost never works because they are trying to get through and you're just putting up a wall as far as they're concerned. So by validating them first, then you can express your boundary. I mean, you can say things like, I'm always open to hear something that you're not okay with. What doesn't work for me is being told to in a loud voice or being told to in a voice that sounds more critical than I'm comfortable with. Or I'm not okay being made wrong, and I felt made wrong when that was said earlier. So again, don't take my word for it. Try it. Test it for yourself. Let me know how it goes. Because you have been listening to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio with Sol Azar. I have been your host, Arnie Buss. I so appreciate your joining me today. You can listen to Speaking of Listening every second Monday at 5 o'clock or a little after right here on Good Vibrations Radio. And to learn more about the work that I'm doing and you can email me at ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com. That's consciousawareheart, all one word. My website is www.consciousawareheart.com. My Twitter handle is effect5com. That's EFFECT5, the number 5, COMM. And my Facebook page is awareheart. And until then, remember, listen with your heart.
You should have listened. There is someone here inside, someone I thought had died so long ago.